God, we just want to ask you for your help tonight. Thanks that you love us and care about us. Would you just come and hang and chill with us in the cafe tonight? And would you teach us? And would you help us? Because this topic's actually kind of a tough one. God, we are a super busy people, and we like to be productive. We like to get stuff done, and we like to go places and do things and get ahead. But the topic tonight is about rest, is about making space in your life to be with God, to hear you. So God, would you help us as we try to figure out what does that look like and how can we apply that to our life? We ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. All right, you guys, so Wired for Rest. We've been doing a whole series on Wired. This one, let me just tell you right at the beginning, I am failing this talk, okay? I am not good at resting. And I'm not just talking about taking a nap, right? If we were going to just sell that, we could sell that all day, right? Hey, you guys need to build in time for a nap. That might be a really good sell. But I'll be honest, I do not do the kind of rest that we're going to talk about today very well at all. And over time, we pay a price as a culture and as people and as teenagers for not allowing our souls to have rest. We end up running ourselves into the ground pretty good, okay? I will be the first to admit that I like to get stuff done. I like to be productive, and soul rest is hard for me. But it doesn't make it less true whether I'm doing it well or not. It's in the Bible. It's from the Lord. Let's learn about it. So here's the deal. Here's the first one. What kind of rest are we going to talk about tonight? And is it this kind of nap, take a vacation, get a hammock, go down to Florida, chill on the beach kind of rest? If it was, man, I'd say book us some flights. Let's go. Let's go. That would be fun. Do we need some relaxation in our lives? Sure, but that's not what the Bible's talking about here, and that's not where we're going tonight. We're going to do this one over here, which is finding rest for our souls. This idea of refreshment or refocusing our heart, or refocusing and refreshing our soul. Raise your hand if over time your life gets busy and you get tired and you get beat up and you get worn out and you get stressed. Is that you at all? Okay? Does life ever wear you out and you're struggling to have peace about things in your life? That happens to me a lot. And I think if we would learn to rest more in the Lord and rest in our relationship with God and pursue Him on a regular basis, that we might find some more peace and more victory. All right, so here is an interesting word in the Bible called Sabbath. And if you guys know the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, God asks us to take a Sabbath. And what does that mean? Well, the word Sabbath means to rest or to cease from work. So could I have a student who is excited to read, would like to read Exodus 20 for us about remembering the Sabbath? Isaac, you feeling that?
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy.
Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day for rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you.
You guys, this follows the account of creation. That what did God do on the seventh day of creation? Did he make anything? No. What did he do? He rested on the seventh day. Question, did God need to rest? Was he worn out and tired? No. Why do you think he rested? Maybe he's amazing and wanted to see how good it was. Perhaps. To set an example for us, that's awesome. I think that's where we're gonna land is God didn't need to rest, but he set an example for us. And he built it into our lives that we work on this weekly schedule, right? 7 days a week, right? And part of that is on that seventh day, God said, look, take a rest and make it holy, okay? It's a dedicated day to God. And in our culture, typically, the Sabbath day ends up being Sunday in America, okay? For the Jewish people, it was usually on Saturday, okay? But for us, let's say, so you come to church. That's a great thing to do on the Sabbath day. That's a great thing to do, is to come and worship together as a group and to learn about God. That's super cool. But that's not all it is, okay? God wants us to also make that day set apart so we're not just doing a bunch of chores, we're not just doing a bunch of work, and we're not just treating it like a normal day, that we actually have some soul rest that we can have. So we're going to start with that. So how do we find soul rest? We're going to look at these seven things, okay? First, you have to stop. Then you have to look up. Then you need to remember. Then you need to remain. Then you need to recenter, to rely, and then repeat it all again, okay? So stop and pause your life for a minute, to hit the pause button. So that's going to be this one right here. How often do you hit the pause button on your life? Very often? At bedtime, maybe. But to pause and reflect on your life a little bit, okay? To pause, to stop. Here's the thing. In order to have soul rest, you have to stop what you're doing. So you know what I'm going to do for you tonight? I'm going to build it into youth group that we're going to hit the pause button. And in about 15 minutes, I'm going to give you time to be with God in the auditorium. You're going to spread out in the auditorium. You're going to find some space. And you're going to do this. You're going to stop. And you're going to calm your mind. You're going to calm your heart. And you're going to start to think about God, all right? Here's an awesome verse in Psalm 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." A lot of you have heard that. Be still. Be still. Be still. Sometimes it's really hard to be still. I get a little fidgety. I get a little nervous. I like to move. I like to do stuff. And God's like, chill, chill, chill. Okay? Be still and know that I am God. And then it goes on to say, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. When you stop and you be still, then you have a moment where you can be like, oh, God is big. And he deserves to be exalted. He deserves to be praised. All right, so that's the first one, stop. All right? All right, here's the next one, look up. I love the night sky when the stars are out. You guys like the night sky when the stars are out? I've been camping in a lot of different remote areas. Some of my favorites have been out in New York or out in New Mexico. Pitch black all around. When the stars come out, like, nobody's business. Like, in the city, in Columbus and Hilliard, you see some stars. You might be able to see the Big Dipper at night. But you, if you are out in nature, if you are out in the woods, man, when the stars come out, like, the stars come out. Like, and just the longer you stare, the more there are. And I've had cool moments where so many stars came out that I actually could see, like, the swirls of, like, the Milky Way galaxy. That is awesome, right? Not just, this, you know, the stars we might see here in the city. Here's the thing. You know what that does for me when I look up to the sky? It gives me perspective. Oh, whoa. The sun is awesome. The moon is huge. The stars are amazing. I am small. And I realize and I feel how small I am. And then I realize how, oh, that test tomorrow or that hurt friendship or that hurt feeling, wow, maybe it's not as big a thing as I feel like it is. And I start to get some perspective that, yeah, those things can hurt and be hard, but maybe that's not the end of the world, that maybe there's some bigger stuff going on and that God is in control. So I love this verse in Psalm 123. It says, I look to you, heaven-dwelling God, look up to you for help. And I hope that maybe as we stop and then we look up to God, that we could pause and be like, wow, God is big. So I wanted to read to you from a favorite book of mine. It has a strange title. The title is, I Am Not, But I Know I Am. It's a curious title. I am not, but I know, and I am is a proper name of God. That you're not God, but you know who God is. You know God. Here's an interesting story I wanted to read to you from this book. This guy, Louis Giglio, writes that he was in London at St. Paul's Cathedral. Okay, a big famous church, huge, huge church. It says this, to say this place is huge is a massive understatement. It's almost two football fields long. The dome alone weighs 65,000 tons, and the cross that adorns its outer shell rises 365 feet above London's Ludgate Hill. The spot on Earth has been home to a church building since 1087. But St. Paul's is lifting my heart and my head towards something even bigger, something higher, someone more. And he goes on and says this, God is big, really, really big, and I am not. Sitting here, I feel so small, and small feels surprisingly good. So good, I begin to wonder why it's so surprising that small feels good. He says, the truth is, feeling small may not be so bad if in recognizing our smallness, we come to realize the wonder of God. You guys, that's what the stars do for me. That's what the sky and nature does for me. That I get out there and I'm like, oh, wow, God is really big and I am really small. And that's okay. He goes on to say this. It says, a God who is beyond our ability to fully describe or imagine, yet someone we are privileged to know, love, and embrace. Looking up from our tiny estate, we are faced with the supremacy of a God who is not only fully capable of running the entire cosmos today, a task that doesn't tax him in the slightest, but sustaining the affairs of all of our lives as well, okay? God is running the universe, man. He is making it work. It says, you would think that getting a glimpse of God's true size would have us happily lining up to embrace our itty-litty-bitty lives, especially given we are so loved so dearly by the one who gives them to us in the first place. But then again, human history is not exactly the record of man's unquenchable quest for smallness. Do you think the world chases smallness? I don't think so. Unfortunately, this quest can be exhausting, right? For one thing, no one seems to know when big is big enough. If you're chasing all that stuff, and then you end up doing this, it ends up being a dizzying, deceptive staircase of promises, contentment, but it never really comes through. Is big big enough? Is more enough? Somehow more is never quite enough, and the climb continues even more exhausting than before. You guys get this. God is so big and so powerful, but it helps if we remember when we look up that it all starts with that. It's your perspective. It's your view. A lot of my life is spent like this, looking down or looking straight ahead or looking in the mirror. I rarely just have a moment to look around, see what's happening, see the people around you, see the world around you. All right, he closes with this. God puts Sabbath in every week for a reason. And the looking up we do on the first day of the week must bear fruit in all the moments of every other day for us to stay connected to the reality that I am not, but I know I am. I know the God who is I am. I hope you guys grab that. But looking up, this idea helps us have perspective that, you know what, God is big and he's huge and he loves you and he cares about you, but we're small in the big picture of things, and that he'll take care of you. I mean, you don't have to fret and freak out and worry and stress, that God is in control. All right, here's the next one. Remember. Why do you think it's important to remember? Well, what happens if we forget? If we forget that a red light means stop and a green light means go, what's going to happen if you're driving? Yeah, bad stuff. If you forget that gravity is stronger than you and you decide to jump off something really, really high, what's going to happen? Oh, you could. Yes, you might get severely hurt. Okay. Now, if you're trying to do something, study for an exam, why is it important that you remember what you studied? To do well on the tests. Okay. So if you think about this in life, check this out. There's something very valuable with the community of believers remembering cool stuff that God has done in the past. Let me give you a quick example. Somebody read Joshua 4 about a time when the Israelites had to remember.
Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us of us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across.
All right, you guys, what is that about? What'd they do? They built a memorial with what? Stones, rocks from the river, okay? They crossed the river, and God's like, yo, before you go, everybody, pick one guy from every tribe and pull one of those rocks out of the river, and then do what with it? Build a memorial, okay? So on the side of the river, right there's this, they build these stacks of rocks, okay? Why? To remember what? To remember what? What did God do? To remind us right there that what? What did God do? Okay, something supernatural happened. God stopped the flow of water when the Ark of the Covenant came across, okay? And the people got to go to the promised land. That's pretty cool, right? Here's the idea. You might be tempted to forget some of the things that God has done. So I want to just take a couple moments. Think about it in your head. We'll have a quick little open mic here. Can you remember something cool that God has done in the past? For you or somebody in your family or just in the world? Okay, I'm going to start and then you're going to go. Okay, I brought something to remember. Do you guys remember the night where we wrote our sins on broken pottery and we glued them to the cross? Maybe you were here for that night. It was a worship night we did. And here's what was cool for me. To see us collectively as a group take our broken, messed up stuff and turn that into a piece of art. That's pretty cool. That God takes our brokenness and makes something beautiful out of it through his forgiveness. Okay? That's just one thing. A monument, a memory, a token to remember. In case you forgot, we're all sinful and messed up, but God can take our brokenness and make something beautiful. That's a cool message. Okay? Do you got one? Something you remember that God has done. What do you got? We did it last year at a worship night. So your sister is a blessing from God, even though sometimes she annoys you. Okay, so does anybody have a person in your life, maybe a sibling, that you appreciate, that you're glad they're here? They're glad you're in your family. Okay? That's cool. All right, somebody else, open mic. Give me just maybe two or three more things. Something cool God has done in the past that we could celebrate. So God changed your grandfather's heart from a mean kind of drunken person, rude, whatever, to a guy who was trying to follow God and was good to be around. Okay, raise your hand if you know somebody that God has changed their life and their behavior shows it. Do you know anybody like that? I know people God has changed. That's cool. Somebody else, something you remember that God did.
She was having some heart problems, and God really helped her through that, even though a bunch of stuff kept coming up, but he just kept providing for her, and that was really cool to watch it. One of the things was a major heart transplant was going to happen, and they got a new heart within, like, a day, and it was really amazing because usually it takes weeks or months to find one that's compatible. But it was really fast, and it worked out really well.
All right, did you guys get that? Can you remember a time when there was a major, major health problem in someone's life, and God came through and helped that person? For Devin, his aunt, Julie, got a new heart. That's awesome, okay? Can we celebrate that? You know, if you're in the middle of the hard, hard health problem in your family, how can remembering the past help you now? Well, let's go to the next one. This will help, okay? Why should we remember? How is this going to bring you some Sabbath soul rest? Well, this cool guy, Eugene Peterson, put it this way, that when we remember God's past actions, okay, like we just talked about, then we can look to the future with hope. Like, God, I have another family member who's got a health problem. Could you help them? I hope you could. Could you please help them? And then in the middle, we can find joy in the present because we remember the past, we look to the future with hope, and then we can find some joy in the moment that God is going to come through, that God is going to help. You guys, it doesn't always happen and it doesn't always work out smooth, okay? But that is one way we can find some soul rest, is looking back to what he's already done so we can look to the future with some hope that he's going to come through financially, he's going to come through health-wise, he's going to come through friendship-wise, family-wise, work-wise, so that we could have some joy in the middle. All right, here's the next one. Not a new one to you guys, but how do you find soul rest? Remain is the next one. Remain in God's word. And that's what you guys are going to have opportunity to do. We went ahead and purchased books for everyone in the room, okay? Guys are going to get a book that's called The Guy's Guide to God, Girls, and the Phone in Your Pocket. And the girls are going to get a book that's about the smart girl's guide to God, guys, and the galaxy, okay? Sounds kind of funny, but in it is 100 times with God, okay, and tips for life. You're going to get a copy of that book, and then you're going to go into the auditorium, and you're going to do this. You're going to stop, and then you're going to look up, and then you're going to spend some time in the Word. You pick whatever topic in that book you want. The book is yours. It's going to go home with you, okay? So that's pretty much what I say. The Bible says this, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So you're going to have a chance right now to remain and connect with God in his Word. So I'm going to invite the girls to stand up first and go grab a copy of that book and then head out to the auditorium. Guys, when their line doesn't look too long, you can get up and go grab the guys' version of that book and go to the auditorium. All right, come on back in the room, find your seat. And if you haven't, put your name on that book, on the outside or on the inside cover. Okay, here's a question. Did you stop? Did you pause your life for a minute? Did you try to look up and did you try to get into the Word a little bit? Did you read something from your book? Yes? Okay. I read a pretty good one. I read the first one in the guy's book. Was called Realize That Most Bad Decisions Began 5 Choices Ago. And it went on to talk about a bunch of decisions and choices that people had made. And it talked about a lot about temptation and taking the escape routes before it's too late. That was good. I hope that you will use that book to grow. I hope you will use that book to Sabbath, to have some rest in your life, okay? Yours to keep. Here's what I would love to do. Once in a while, why don't you have somebody from your life group share, hey, what are you learning in that book we've got? So throughout the rest of the fall, from now till like Christmas, have some people in your life group like, hey, you know what? I was reading this week and here's what I learned. Would love it if we could all be growing together. That'd be super cool. All right. So that was remain in the Word. Now we're going to worship. Okay. That's the next piece. To recenter, you really need some time to worship God. So we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song by Skillet called Stars. All right. Cool. You can have a seat. I don't know about you, but sometimes singing to God helps me stop thinking about myself, helps me stop thinking about my problems, and helps me start to think about God and think about him and think about how he can help. And when I'm done, I usually find myself a little bit more at peace. I don't know if that's true for you, but God wants to help you. And I love this verse in Psalm 100. It says, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. All right, so that's all about recentering. Second to last one is rely. It's all about prayer. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So you know what? Tonight is all about you actually doing what we're learning. So pull some chairs together with 3 or 4 friends and take a couple minutes and pray together, okay? You could just thank God for something. You could ask him for help for something. Pray together. Just take a couple minutes. All right, did you finish up praying? All right, can I get your attention real quick just to wrap it up? Right where you are, you can sit right where you are in the groups you're in. Just look up at the screen. This is the last one, okay? The last R is repeat. God designed this idea of Sabbath rest to happen every week, okay? It says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. You guys, I hope you found a little bit of rest tonight. We took some time to remember, okay? We took some time to get in the Word. We took some time to pray. We took some time to worship. We fed our souls a little bit, okay? And maybe not completely. And, you know, maybe we could have had a more extended time, but I wanted to give you a little bit of a sample of what it could be like for us on a regular basis to be refreshed and renewed, okay? Let me just review them all for you. Here it is. First we stop, then we look up, then we remember, remain, recenter, rely, and repeat, okay? We pause our life a little bit. We get some perspective. We connect with community and remember together what God has done. We get in the Word. We worship. We pray. And we do it again. And we do it again. And we do it again. And over time, our lives grow. And our hearts grow. And our faith grows. And we learn this dependence on God. And we learn to rest in Him. I need that. I don't do it well. Ask me. Remind me. Let's do that for one another, okay? Would you pray with me? God, this is a busy world. And we live in busy lives. And we have a lot going on. And we apologize for being people who are too busy, who don't stop, who don't look up. So God, forgive us and help us to pause and to remember you and to look up and to embrace our faith and to hold on to you, God. We pray that you'd help us do that more and more. Help us to rest in you, to find peace in you. In Jesus' name, amen.